essentially they can do a lot of damage, especially if their numbers increase dramatically, which has seemed to happen this season here.
A statewide insect infestation hits the Northern Lynn Canal. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Area biologists say recent restrictions in the Chilkoot sockeye fishery are creating a better outlook for this year's run than earlier in the season. Rich Chapel is a biologist with the local fishing game office.
Things are looking better than they were a week ago. There's been several days of good passage in the Chilkoot River Weir. So with about 30% of the run on average having passed through the weir at this time, we're a lot closer to reaching the goal of 38,000 fish.
It's been almost 2 weeks since Chilkoot anglers have been limited to one sockeye per day, down from six. And as sockeye numbers peak at the Chilkoot Weir, restrictions continue in the commercial fishery, too.
Because we have concerns about getting the necessary escapement into Chilkoot Lake to continue that run, we have reduced the sockeye salmon bag limit.
The harvest reduction was in response to observations that a surprisingly low amount of fish were returning to Chilkoot Lake. Biologists Randy Bachman and Rich Chapel.
On July 10th, we were pretty much on average 20% through the run for Chilkoot Lake sockeye based on a weir count run timing. So it's about, you know, that's a fifth of the run. So at that time, we were projecting a total escapement of under 38,000 fish, which is the lower escapement goal range. And since it was similar to last year's count at that time, and we did not meet the minimum escapement goal range in 2009. So Rich, being the sport fish management biologist, made a decision to maybe curtail some of the sport harvest to help boost escapement into the lake.
But it's about the same as what we saw last year in 2009, and about twice as many fish already as we saw in 2008. But, you know, the runs come in pulses, so we're just coming off of a strong pulse, so things are looking more optimistic today than they were a few days ago.
A similar reduction, or even closure, has happened in the past, and maybe should have happened in the last couple of years, adds Chapel.
At the current time, the trend with the number of fish that have entered the Chilkoot River, passed through the Chilkoot River Weir, the trend is that we're on track to fall short of the minimum escapement goal of 38,000 fish. So we're just having a harvest reduction in the sport fishery to increase the number of fish that make it into the lake.
Measures were taken in the commercial fishery over the last few years to reduce the harvest of Chilkoot River sockeye. Again, Randy Bachman.
Oh, definitely the commercial changes have a huge effect on the number of Chilkoot sockeye harvested. For instance, we have had the entire eastern shoreline of Lynn Canal closed from the latitude of Point Bridget on the south end of the canal for the entire season in the last several years. We've had 6-inch minimum mesh size requirements for the gear they use to catch salmon on the southern end of the district. And we've had, you know, 2 to 3 days in reduced areas to fish in Section 15C to reduce the harvest rate of Chilkoot Lake sockeye salmon.
Biologists aren't sure yet if sockeye will reach the department's goal this year, meaning the restrictions could continue through the fall.
If things go as they have been going so far this year, and it matches the average timing, then we'll come in just a little bit under the escapement goal. So that's essentially through the end of the sockeye run. But if, you know, in season it looks like the counts are increasing and the trend is to have an escapement within the escapement goal range, then we would lift this restriction.
The department is also updating subsistence fishermen on salmon stocks and recommending certain areas for fishing as anglers pass through the Haines office.
At the time Rich made the call to reduce the bag limit at Chilkoot, weir counts were way below average. And so we have, you know, over 30 years of data, weir counts, sockeye salmon counts at the weir. So we have a heck of a historic database that we can compare current year's counts to. So since the weir is located pretty close to saltwater, we get a pretty good idea in season what our escapement's looking like. So, you know, we have the luxury of that tool to make management decisions on the sport, commercial, and subsistence harvest for Chilkoot sockeye to help boost the escapement.
On the other side of the peninsula, biologists say the Chilkat River stocks are looking average for this time of year.
it's looking not as many fish as last year for this time, but it's tracking to meet escapement goals currently right now at Chilkat Lake.
Even if you aren't a gardener, you might have noticed little dark, slender insects with fringed wings stuck to the leaves of plants around town. You aren't alone. Thrips, as they're most commonly called, are infesting the state.
We've noticed thrips being active down here in Juneau through the summer, but nothing on the order that we are hearing from Haines and what has turned out to be elsewhere in the state.
Darren Snyder is an agriculture specialist with Cooperative Extension Services and works in Juneau. The service is part of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and is in place to provide research and education on various community needs, in this case, an insect outbreak. Snyder says he wasn't surprised when he first heard thrips were all over Haines, since his area is also infested.
Thrips are an insect that feeds on plant leaves and also the flowering buds. They have a rasping mouth part where they'll kind of scrape the leaf surface and then they'll drink the juices that they release. And so this is the damage that is usually seen on the leaves, are these little kind of scraping marks. And if there's enough of that going on, then they'll essentially, they can do a lot of damage, especially if their numbers increase dramatically, which has seemed to happen this season here.
Thrips are also called storm flies and thunderbugs, not to be confused with the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey team's mascot. They're typically around every season, but experts say this is a particularly large outbreak and has begun to affect commercial agriculture in addition to hobby gardens. Snyder notes it could be due to weather conditions statewide.
There are folks who are seeing large outbreaks in many of the other regions of Alaska, and Anchorage and Palmer and Fairbanks, Soldotna, and our statewide pest management folks have been hearing from all these regions as well. And it's really what has been the finger pointing that's going on as far as the weather goes is that throughout Alaska we had our great spring, essentially in early summer, and we all loved that, and unfortunately so did the thrips.
Thrips travel on the wind, but aren't strong flyers. They generally feed from plant to plant. Haines gardener Stephanie Scott says the bugs seem to be attacking ornamentals like white and yellow flowers and some vegetables and berries along the peninsula and as far out as Koshu Island.
And that's their typical behavior, is to go into the flower buds and lay their eggs in the plant tissue. And that's where some of the control methods of, you know, various sprays are hard to get to them, because they've already laid their eggs by the time they start appearing. That, you know, the damage has already been done. And in the case of ornamental flowers, that's devastating, because there's nothing you can do. They're already inside the flower.
But that's not all they're into, says Snyder.
They also do affect people. They're not feeding on us like a regular biting insect, like a whitefly or a no-see-em or mosquito, but they do kind of take a taste, is what it seems like they're doing. Is they'll get on you and they'll kind of use their rasping mouth part and create a little mini scratch, and that can be irritating. But as soon as they figure out that we're not a plant, then they go try somewhere else, and hopefully not again on us somewhere. But they are irritating, so that's a bummer too.
Scott and others sent samples to Cooperative Extension, which will be conducting further research on the bugs. Snyder also plans to visit Haines during the Southeast Alaska State Fair, where he'll be available for questions and investigate the infestation further.
I'm really glad that we're going to be there next week, because we are going to be actively going, you know, throughout the community and trying to get a good bead on just how large of an outbreak this is, and specifically which plants they've been, you know, really attacking most. So we've gotten good information from a couple of sources so far, but there are many people in Haines who are experiencing this, so it would be good to communicate with other people who have been experiencing this as well.
In the meantime, Scott and other local gardeners think the thrips might have already peaked. She says she's had some success hanging sticky traps above the plants. Snyder adds that solutions are limited because of the level of the outbreak, but he believes taking action now may reduce future attacks.
for right now, there are various horticultural sprays which can be applied, and some people just spray a stream of water to wash them off. Others have had little success with the soap water, which will work on soft-bodied insects more readily, like aphids, but they don't seem to affect thrips so much. But there are some kind of the harder sprays, which are neem and pyrethrins.
He adds that thrips can persist in plant matter beneath the plants, so clearing and burning old mulch is recommended. Snyder expects more exact information on the infestation following his trip to Haines the last weekend in July.
I hope to get an exact identification on this one, just because we'd like to compare what we have down here in Haines with the rest of the state, and just to get a good bead on which specific species are present.
Cooperative Extension Services from the University of Alaska Fairbanks is online at uaf.edu/CES. This is Tara Bicknell reporting for KHNS.